This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Howdy, hour number two, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Series XM 206, coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently here. A lot of Dallas Cowboys stuff in the first hour. Do a little hoops here. Got to run a couple of things by you guys. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. All right, so neatly nestled within the sporting world last night was a little beef. Interesting reaction from Kyrie Irving, who took the basketball and fired it into the crowd. When Jamal Murray went to, he was sitting on 48 points at the buzzer, basically. Game was well in hand here. And Jamal Murray launched, I don't know if it was a long two or three, but he, in his quest to get 50 or more, he maybe challenged conventional sporting decorum. And post-game, Kyrie Irving was not exactly enthralled with that decision.
What kind of competitor wouldn't it bother? Like, I understand if we fouled him going to the free throw line. I don't want to make a big deal out of it. Obviously, I was pissed off at the game, but it's time to decompress and move on. Congratulations to him having 48 points. But the ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that. So, do it in the crowd.
I'll tell you. First of all, I love the reaction from Kyrie Irving. You played game. Now, you didn't play basketball, but you played football. Yeah. What's your thoughts on...
Dude, he was measured. I love that, DT.
What I'm talking about more from Murray's point of view. Like, chasing a benchmark once a game. Just the whole situation. How did you view it?
I'm not a big fan of chasing benchmarks like that, and 50 doesn't seem like a big deal, but it would have been a big deal because it would have been the most points ever scored by a Canadian in the NBA.
I think 50 is a big deal.
I know, but I mean,
50 is 50.
50 is 50, but it's not like he scored 80. You know what I mean? It's not like he Kobe'd it. You know what I mean? So 50 is a great game.
50 is a good number.
48 is a great number as well, especially when you beat the Celtics. So I told you
Denver's good.
I know they are.
I told you all summer they're good.
It is. I'm not a big fan of doing that.
Yeah.
And football is different. You don't get a lot of opportunities to chase milestones. I mean, there's 16 games. I mean, of the 16, maybe there's two where things are just flowing correctly. Like, you come out of the – you have the right game plan. Everybody's healthy. You feel right. Very rarely does that happen in football. So it's different to chase, you know, a 300-yard game in football. Not that it – for a running back. Not that it's ever going to happen. Basketball's different. You get so many opportunities. And so I'm less of a fan of it for the NBA.
Yeah, it's funny that you bring up the football example, because I was going to throw this by you depending upon how you actually first responded to the situation. Say if, I mean, because passing yards are so frequent these days.
Matter.
So
like,
I almost think
like Monopoly money for if you could put it in that context. It
really is. I was going to say 500 yards, but it's probably more 600 at this point.
Oh, yeah.
Like, say
like a college stat. It's more like the college stat.
But pertaining to the NFL.
Yeah.
Say if Aaron Rodgers is sitting on 576 yards, all right, and they're up multiple scores midway through the fourth quarter, and he's let it fly 45, 50 yards downfield, try to connect with one of his guys to get 600.
Yeah.
Would we have an issue with that? I would.
Because
if you don't have an issue with that, then you can't have an issue
with
Jamal Murray.
Probably I would. It's unnecessary.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because it depends on what the nature of the game was.
Well, if they're up
so
by 17 points.
This was a blowout.
They're up by, I'm giving you a blowout scenario in the NFL.
Then
you're consistent with Murray.
100%. No. Yes, I'm consistent with Murray. I mean, I don't like it.
That's what I mean.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's funny. This is probably going to be an age thing, and that's why I love that. And Kyrie Irving doesn't strike me as this kind of throwback.
Not enforcer, he doesn't. Yeah, I hear you.
Protector of the unwritten rules, or that bastion, that I don't know, that liaison to the past. I don't even know how I want to position it. But it's refreshing to me when a superstar is so turned off by what just transpired that he takes a basketball and he fires it in the crowd. I like that. I still like to see some real emotion instead of just, oh man, here's my jersey, man. Let's get a picture and put it on the IG.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I think that that's pretty cool.
Look, the game was in Denver, so it's not like it was at home. So I get what Kyrie is saying. If it was at home, it'd be a different story, meaning home for Boston.
What would be different about it?
Like, don't do that on my court, and I'm tossing the ball away.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but this was in Denver. He's trying to show out in front of his home crowd, trying to be in the front page or maybe back page. I don't know how it is out in Denver. It's probably
the Denver Post. I believe it's the front page, but it's not the first thing you see.
Yeah,
kind of like the USA Today.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the New York Times format.
First page of the sports.
Correct.
Section. He wants to be there. I get it.
Yeah, we all want to be there. But I also understand anybody who says fully, stop me. You don't want me to get 50? Don't let me get 46. Don't let me get 48. Stop me.
And at the end of the day, BT, that's really what it is. Kyrie, if you got a problem, shut me down, right? Or make the game more manageable for you guys so it doesn't feel as bad as he's going for 50. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. What was it was 115 to 107 when this one went down. One thing that I fundamentally disagree with, now, it's a little petty thing, but and I don't know if this applied to last night. I didn't see it live. I was watching football, but I did see the highlight this morning. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of corny, Jamal. Just eat it. Put it in your back pocket. But what I don't like is, when people, if the shot clock is expiring and there's, say, 27 seconds left in the game.
That I don't mind.
Well, I'm not going to put a turnover on my ledger.
I'm
going to throw it up. I might put a missed shot on my ledger. I might pass it.
You're right.
But why am I going to get a turnover? It's still gameless.
It's going to show up at some point on a stat line.
That's what I'm saying.
And it's going to be on you.
It's going to be used against me at the negotiating table when I'm trying to get that contract. Let's hear from Jamal Murray. Here's what he said. Yeah, for the most part, this, I believe, was on the court, one of those, mindless interviews where they're not even really looking at the interviewer. Oh, this is actually in the locker room. So this is different from what I saw. Here's Jamal Murray postgame.
I was having a lot of fun. I think my emotion took over, as it normally does when I get going like that. No disrespect to the Boston organization, the Boston fans for the last shot. I just had it in my mind I was going for 50, and I think everybody kind of understood that's what I was trying to do. I really wasn't meaning it in disrespect, and, I was looking for that ball. Each time down the court, I think Coach called a play for Joker, and I pulled up for three, and they called a timeout. So,
yeah, and he struck a similar tone on the court postgame. He was kind of cool about it. He apologized.
Look, listening to him, it sounds.
Let's see. Oh, this is just the highlights here.
Yeah,
but I want to see if there was anything on the shot clock.
It's just fun, though. You know what I mean? It's not like he's
4.3.
He's really
looks like the shot clock is. I can't tell.
I mean,
can't tell. Yeah, there's a little chirping going on. It's a nice win for Denver's 9-1.
9-1. You're right, 9-1.
By the way, I know we're going to do this in inbounds, out of bounds. LeBron taking some heat for going to a little party after they lost the other night.
Hey.
Kobe wouldn't do that. The Mamba wouldn't be celebrating after he got his got waxed.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
Kobe didn't really go out that much.
Who?
Kobe. Kobe was a homebody.
LeBron goes out that much. He just happened to go out
after they lost
because it was a party.
Bad optics.
It's an inbounds, out of bounds. We'll get to it. Look, I don't necessarily have a problem with what Jamal Murray did. I don't necessarily have a problem with Kyrie Irving either, to be honest with you. Is his reaction, his response. It'll be motivation for them if they meet again somewhere down the line.
Well, they'll meet in Boston. They'll play twice.
Exactly.
Or the NBA Finals.
That's all it'll be.
Yeah.
And so it'll be billboard material for either one of them to go after. I don't think Jamal Murray even thought about it, to be honest with you.
No, I don't think it was premeditated.
No, I wasn't trying to rub it in.
I agree. I don't think it was vicious.
And Kyrie actually was measured in his response.
Mm-hmm.
He moved past it.
Yeah.
He'll keep it in the back of his mind. He'll lodge it there.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be motivating whenever they see Denver again. But it seemed like he let that go.
Mike, what were you saying?
I just remember back in 2003. I don't know if you remember this. Ricky Davis. He was playing for the Cavs.
Ricky Davis.
And he was one rebound short of a triple-double.
Yeah.
So he took an inbound pass,
threw
it against his own backboard, hoping to get a rebound for it. But because you don't get rebounds for your own shots like that, it didn't count. But people were pissed at him for trying to, pad his stats. But here's my contention.
Moses Malone used to do that.
Yeah, so
before
here's my
they got
contention.
Savvy.
Just, pat it up against the backboard.
Yeah, before they got savvy, the statisticians, he would pad his stats.
Yeah.
In the NBA, at the end of the day, it's such an individualized sport, and about stats, and so much about, on and off the court, promoting yourself
Now it right? is.
Yes.
Now
so
it
like,
definitely is.
Saying that you have a 50-point game for a team like the Nuggets who are 9-1, getting no national attention or respect or love.
Really I give them respect.
For sure, but I'm just saying, like, how often have we talked about the Nuggets in depth on this show? We talk about the Lakers when they lose, but the Nuggets are 9-1 and they're a legit team. They just don't get that kind of national attention. If he gets 50 points, they get national attention. So I understand it's selfish and it's probably a little grandiose, but isn't this what we want? Is this what we, like, demand of our NBA players to, like, get out there and do crazy stuff and have fun and, and score 50 points and, and be interesting and get big shoe contracts and sponsorships?
Is
this what we expect from our guys?
I don't demand it, but I don't indict him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, I take it, I don't want to say take it with a grain of salt because we're actually having a conversation about it, but it is an interesting, you know, point in sporting decorum.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's, and it's gone this way for a while now.
Yeah.
As the Kevin Garnetts exit the NBA and the Kobe's exit the NBA and the Paul Pierce's exit the NBA and the guys who aren't letting that stuff fly exit the NBA, there's going to be a shifting in theatrics.
Yeah.
There's going to be a different interpretation of what's right and what's wrong. And I find it interesting when there's somebody in the new age NBA who's still in his 20s, in his mid-20s, takes a little issue with that.
Yeah.
Good for Kyrie Irving.
Good for Kyrie.
And good for Jamal handling it the right way post-game.
Yeah, look, the Denver Nuggets, they are an interesting team that people aren't paying attention to unless you're out that way or on the West Coast or out in Denver at BT, because I didn't realize this until I just looked. I think I know this, but I didn't think about it until just now. Their loss, like, they beat the Warriors, right? Their loss is against the Lakers, which is confounding. Of the teams on their schedule, I mean, they've beaten the Clippers, the Suns, the Warriors, the Kings, the Pelicans, the Bulls, the Cavaliers, obviously,
the
Jazz.
Not a lot of good teams, by the way,
the
but
Celtics.
Denver's still good.
I know. It doesn't matter. The team they lost to. I'm talking about who they beat. The team they lost to was the Lakers.
Yeah, you got LeBron. You're supposed to win some of those games, LeBron.
I mean,
come on. Best player in the world. Is he still, by the way? I'm just asking.
Yeah.
Is he?
At least for another quarter of the season.
I don't think he is. I don't.
The gap is certainly closed.
I don't think he's number two either.
The gap is closed. But it's just, it's a night-to-night thing. Now, it's not like a foregone conclusion like he used to be.
I don't think he's number one, and I don't think he's number two. I think Durant and Davis are in front of him. Anthony Davis. What about you guys? Diso, you love the NBA. LeBron still number one, night to night?
Absolutely.
Mike, LeBron still number one?
For another year, until somebody rips it out of his hands, until he can't carry a team on his shoulder. I mean, they're not doing great right now, but, like, Durant is great. But when you have that guy, you know, all those guys around you, it's not hard to put up numbers and be great.
But it's hard to be efficient with the limited shots that you get based on.
No, I think it's easier to be efficient. More open shots.
No, it's not.
Better passing.
No,
more.
I disagree. Efficiency is challenging, Mike.
It's,
volume
it's probably
is
more
easy.
To have. It's probably more. It's probably easier to have like a higher or higher points per game average. Maybe taking as many shots, but efficiency, I think, is easier. When you have good passing, you're getting easy shots, open shots, layups, fouls. I think having guys around you makes you more efficient, but maybe lower total numbers or points per game numbers.
Yeah, I guess it depends how you look at it. You still got to put the ball in the rim.
Yeah.
In the net, you know. Anthony Davis, to me. It's Davis. Well, Diso, what are you shrugging your shoulders for?
He doesn't want anything. He's
so
always,
what?
He's always hurt.
And he's got to stay healthy.
You're not one of these guys.
But he does at BT. He does have to stay healthy. And so far he has. Give him credit. So far he has.
I am. I'm saying he's the best in the game behind Durant. All right, coming up next, guys. We're going to chat with Jahlil Adai. I mean, this is a good story. The Chargers are rolling. Mm-hmm. He's a good-looking safety. And we'll get a little story. So earlier we chatted with Cam Jordan from the Saints. Now we give the Chargers some love. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Last week on Tiki's Barbershop, I chatted with Peter Chacha, who was the race director. He's now retired of the New York City Marathon. Our race on Sunday, which I ran, not in record pace, was his last one, sending off the runners and firing the howitzer as we all took off over the Verrazano Bridge. You can check it out on Tiki's Barbershop on any of your podcasting venues, iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify. It is presented by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way that you could save money. Switch to Geico. All it takes is 15 minutes to find out if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And Geico offers more than just car insurance. Got a motorcycle? Geico's got you covered. Got an RV? Covered. A boat? Covered. How about homeowners, renters, or other insurance? Geico's got you covered. And there's so much more Geico could help you with. Plus, don't forget the discounts. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save. That's geico.com.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. It's brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. California football, pretty damn good these days, even though the Rams coming off a loss. They're really good, as are the Chargers. Tiki, we get a chance to chat with one of their safeties. Jaleel Adai is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. The Bolts have won five straight. Jaleel, what's happening, buddy? Welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome,
yeah,
man.
No, thanks for hopping on with us, man. There's a lot going on out there in Los Angeles, and the football is starting to feel like it's a part of that city, even though we hadn't been there for a while. Do you guys feel that? You feel the energy from fandom out there, or is it still kind of a wait and see, or let's make sure this is real approach from the fans out there?
No, we definitely feel it, you know, but the biggest thing is we just want to win. That's the biggest thing. Nothing else matters in this business other than winning. You guys know that, and we just continue to work each and every day. We appreciate the fans that we have, and, you know, the move from San Diego coming out to L.A., you know, was a big deal, but we appreciate the two riders with us, and we're just going to continue to fight.
Yeah, no, you are doing it. It's 6-2 right now. You're just sitting behind the Kansas City Chiefs, who's garnering everybody's attention. But let me ask you a question about Anthony Lynn. Because not a lot of people know what he's like. He's not, you know, a marquee name before he became the head coach out there in Los Angeles, San Diego, but now Los Angeles. What's he like? How is he a leader to you guys?
I think it's pretty cliche when people say their coach is a player's coach. But I honestly think that Coach Lynn is that. He lets the leaders, the captains, he lets them kind of run the team. You know, he's obviously the head coach, and he's going to have the last say in everything that we do. But he lets us have fun. He makes coming to work enjoyable. And I think the biggest thing is that he's played the game before. He's won Super Bowls. He's been on teams with greats, with Hall of Famers, and he's done it. You know, so he's been in our shoes, and now he's obviously on the other side of the spectrum, and he knows how to run it. And for his second year as a head coach, I mean, he's doing a phenomenal job. We're just riding his wave.
He really is. He's really distinguished himself nicely, and it's not easy to do that so quickly in the NFL. He's doing a good job. I'm with you. And we're talking to Jaleel Adai, of course, Chargers safety with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know what's interesting, Jaleel? All the trades that went down, there was a lot of them that went down last week at the deadline here. In essence, you guys might, it's not a trade, but it's going to be an addition in Joey Bosa. I mean, I don't know when he's getting on the field. I'm not so sure what you can divulge, but, I mean, it's going to be probably the biggest acquisition around the league. He's a star, as we know. When's Joey playing? I want to see him playing. When's he coming back?
I mean, we all want to see him play. You know, he's a big, 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 big piece in our defense. And I just know he's getting better. I don't know exactly what day he's coming back. I can't pinpoint that. You guys are going to have to ask him and our training staff. But when he comes back, it will be something to be reckoned with. My defense is playing at a high level right now. When you add him to that piece of the puzzle, it can get real scary.
Oh, there's no doubt. Derwin James was a terrific draft pick. We had Derwin on before the draft, and I think he went 17th. I don't have it in front of me. I think it was 17 or 18. It was a steal. We knew it back then. He's balling. You know, and without getting too technical, because, you know, I didn't play in the NFL, and most of our audience didn't, can you explain for your job on the third level just how much somebody like Bosa, and obviously Ingram on the other side, but when they're both playing, how it actually impacts what's in front of you?
Yeah.
It impacts everything because the receivers don't have a lot of time to wiggle at the line. They got to get into the routes. They got to get in and out their breaks, you know, because the pressure's bearing down on them with, you know, two Pro Bowl all-pro caliber defensive ends that we have, you know, and the pressure that they bring, that causes turnovers, and turnovers wins games. You know, coach always wants us in the plus margin when it comes to turnovers, and when you have two guys like that rushing the quarterback, you get a lot of tips and overthrows, and that's interceptions, and that's, we all love those.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Yeah, but didn't one of you guys, did you steal one from Derwin this past weekend? I saw the highlight. Was that you who stole the pick from him?
That was Adrian Phillips.
Okay.
They actually jumped, you know, so it was a free play. So he, Russell chucked it, and AP said he didn't know who was around him, so he just batted it down. So
gotcha.
That wasn't me.
I gotcha.
Yeah, you can't let it. You can't let us.
I saw that. I'm like,
it might be the other team, man.
The rookie wasn't happy either. He's like, come on, I had a freebie. It's hit me in the chest. Let me get it.
You got to go get it. Hey, you know, Jaleel, when you look at Philip Rivers, I mean, he's not an old man, but he feels he is old relative to a lot of the guys on this team. Are you amazed as we are watching from afar at how good he is playing this season at 37 years old? He's got one of the top ratings in the NFL. It's 116 and a half. He's thrown 19 touchdowns on the season already, only 3 interceptions. You guys got to be amazed by him.
We are. I mean, because in my book, he's already a Hall of Famer, and he's not slowing down at all. You don't see his game stuttering at all. He continues. But I'm not too surprised, man, because it's the way Phillips wired. You know, he's a competitor. He competes. The way he goes about studying the game, he's a true professional.
Yeah.
So we see it each and every day. You know, you guys get to see it on Sundays. So we know what we have at the helm. And with him, anything's possible.
Yeah. Now, you guys, you know, two early losses, but they were, I mean, let's be real, they were the two best teams in the NFL in the first quarter of the season, the Chiefs and the Rams. The Chiefs are the one that's more interesting, obviously, because they're in your division. As you look at them and you try to slow down or defend what they do, what's the key, or is there a key?
That's a tough one. You know, that's a tough one, and I think we'll have to worry about that when we get to them. But right now we're just focused on the Oakland Raiders this week, man. And when we get to KC, I'm sure Coach will have a good game plan for us, and then we'll be looking forward to it. But right now, we focused on the next game.
Gotcha. Totally understood, and I hear you. But at least give us this. I mean, at least with Mahomes' fastball, is it really truly different than the other fastballs around the NFL? Does it feel, does it look different?
Yeah, he's a baller. You can see it. He has an arm. He has a rocket, man. He can throw the ball off his back foot 65, 70 yards. And we know he has a lot of weapons around him in Tyreek. Sammy, Kelsey, the run game is absolutely strong. The offensive line does a great job, and the coach does a good job of putting the ball in the playmaker's hands, however he does it. So they have a lot of weapons. I mean, but we have weapons too, so the next showdown is going to be a good one.
I know you do. Keenan Allen, Melvin Gordon, you talk about Phillip Rivers, and I want to get back to Phillip Rivers for a sec. We're talking to Jaleel Adai with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. You know, Tiki asked you about whether you're amazed as to how good he still is. I want to ask you something a little different about Phillip. Given his age, although he's showing no signs of slowing down, and I'm with you, he's a Hall of Famer already. I totally agree. Is there an urgency, because he is still 37, it's not like he's 27, where you guys know, all right, not that it's just this year, but the window is what it is. Is there a little extra pressure internally to win one before, you know, Phillip Rivers rides off to the Hall of Fame?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because, like I said, I think he's slowing down, and we can't control that. I don't think he has any thoughts of retiring anytime soon or whatnot. He's playing at the highest level of the quarterbacks in the league, so we're not thinking about that. We're just going out each and every Sunday, man, and we're just ready to ball offense, defense, and special teams. And I mean, obviously, it'd be great to get Phil one. He deserves one. He's done so much for this league. He's done so much for himself. And hopefully we can bring it to L.A. for him.
Yeah, no, you'd want to see it, because everybody else in this class, that quarterback class with Eli and Big Ben, they've got one. Now, you guys have the Raiders this week. You guys have got to go up to Oakland. And I don't want to say it's an easy game, because no game in the National Football League is easy, but I'm asking the question about your mindset. Like, how do you get ready to play a team that's clearly rebuilding, clearly, you know, pushing off assets? They got a celebrity in the head coach. What it makes this game somewhat challenging, if you know what I'm getting at.
Yeah, Tiki, you know, man, you've played in this league. You know, no game is easy. It's the NFL. Yep. We're going to a hostile environment. It's the Oakland Chargers rivalry, a division game, and it's always a battle. It's been a battle for the last 6 years that I've been here as a Charger, no matter the records of either one of us. So it's going to be a tough one in a hostile environment. You know, they're itching to get a W and get things rolling on that end. We just got to continue to do what we do. We got to come out prepared, work. We just can't roll the ball out and think we're going to get W's. That's not the case. We just got to continue what we've been doing and just add a little bit more each and every week, and I think we'll be fine.
Yep, got to stay locked in. I'm always curious when somebody of your talent, and, you know, you've been around 6 years now in the NFL, you've obviously, quote-unquote, made it, but you kind of slipped through the cracks. Central Michigan, how do you wind up at Central Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, long story.
Give us the tight version.
I was actually committed to West Virginia for a year.
Okay.
I was going to West Virginia under Rich Rodriguez. He went to Michigan.
Yeah.
All the offers, all the scholarships in Michigan were already granted to the former from the former coach that just left. And I graduated early from high school. I was supposed to go to Central West Virginia, excuse me, in December. The new coach, Bill Stewart, rest in peace to him. He told me that he wanted me to come into the in the summer with all the regular freshmen. And at that point in time, I already graduated. I already planned on going in. I've turned down all my offers.
Oh, wow.
And so that was a bummer. You know, being 18, 17, 18, I ain't gonna lie, I was kind of butthurt. So I was like, you know what, I'm gonna decommit. I decommitted. I went up to Michigan actually because my brother was coaching as a GA. I worked out, and Butch Jones was the receiver coach at West Virginia at the time. Got the head coaching job at Central, and that's when Dan LeFever, Antonio Brown, and it was like they were like the new boys coming up.
Yeah, that's right.
I want to be a part of that, so I chose them.
Wow, that's a good route, man. That's a good story.
That's a unique route. That's cool. You graduated early from high school, but I can imagine. I mean, what would you do for 4 months sitting around doing nothing? I mean, other than getting in trouble.
Exactly.
Yeah, I can think of a few things that might be fun. Jahlil Adai, Chargers are rolling. Have fun this weekend against the Raiders. Stay healthy, buddy. Really enjoyed having you on. Nice debut here on Tiki and Tierney. Good stuff, buddy.
Appreciate you, Jahlil.
I appreciate you guys, man. You guys have a good one.
Thank you. Good luck to you.
Right back at you. I like him.
Yeah, nice kid.
Man. He's a personable young man.
You see a lot of kids doing that these days. And
you mean going to school early?
Yeah, like graduating high school early.
Oh yeah,
getting extra credits. I guess summer or whatever.
Last 5-6 years become more of a trend.
And they enroll in school so that they can go through the spring practice or whatever the other upperclassmen are doing.
Yeah.
And so they have a chance to start. 100%. Like, how are all these freshmen starting? Well, that's why.
A lot of quarterbacks have started to do that.
You're right.
I know. You get in the playbook a little bit.
That's a cool way to go about it.
Chargers are good, man. Chargers. Really, we've had a Saint on. We had Cam Jordan on today. Saints are awesome. Chargers are, even if they're a half a tick below, they're not going to be when they get Bosa back.
Agreed.
If Bosa's ready to roll and he's full strength,
yeah.
I mean, who's better than the Chargers definitively in the AFC?
Not a ton of teams.
I know the Chiefs' offense might be a little bit better, right, but when you throw in the Chargers'
the Pats are seasoned, so you always got to throw them in that conversation.
Steelers are playing well for sure.
But when you have a quarterback playing like Philip Rivers is playing.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable how well he's playing right now. He's one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. And we're not really talking about him specifically. We're talking about the team, not how great he is. He's been playing. And their defense has been good. So, and that's without Joey Bosa.
Yeah.
So
they're coming. Wouldn't want to play the Chargers in a month or so.
No.
All right, T, coming up, Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Always a fun daily staple. We'll get that here on Tiki and Tierney after Jay Berman's update, which is right now. Here's Jay. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Busy Tuesday. Time now for the Player of the Week. It's brought to you by Grainger. And we take a look at somebody who's getting it done this week. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak. 27 points, 11 rips over the past week, all while the Bucks have soared to an 8-1 record. They're hoisting up a lot of threes on their butt, played a totally different style. So Milwaukee takes on the Blazers tonight in Portland. Should be fun, but they are rolling. Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it. Go to Grainger.com. All right, 42 minutes past the hour. Reality Check Tuesday. We'll do that coming up next hour. Maybe even circle back to Dallas' situation, but or at least from the game last night. Maybe spend a little more time on Mariota and the Titans because we did so much Dallas dominant.
He deserves some credit, Marcus Mariota. Steady, easy, not easy, but he's a steady game, didn't make a ton of mistakes other than the early fumbles, but he looked composed.
He did.
Looked poised.
He did.
Something we've been waiting for I think, most of the season.
Looked pretty good. Before we get to Inbounds, Out of Bounds, Mike, how are we doing on the poll, both the question and the results so far? What you got, brother?
Simply ask, if you own the Cowboys, would you view Prescott as your franchise QB moving forward? Not surprising, 13% only say yes, 62% say no, and 25% don't have eyes because they're still evaluating.
Okay, there you go. So it's obviously, if you're ever going to vote, today's the day to do it. Go to Tiki and Tierney, give it a click, and we go from there. You ready for Inbounds, Out of Bounds, Teak?
Yep, I am.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. The story of the Baltimore Ravens. A little turmoil right now. They've dropped 3 straight and rumors starting to swirl about John Harbaugh's seat. Maybe heating up a little bit. So the team's on a bye week this week. And while most squads still practice during the time off, Harbaugh said, get out of here. Give them some time away.
We'll not practice. I'm not going to practice tomorrow or Wednesday. I know that we're better off resting at this point. I think our guys have been hard at work at it through a long training camp, and it'll be good for us to get an opportunity to get off our feet and get our legs back. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right, interesting coaching method, coaching tactic in the NFL. In or out, Teak? The Ravens not practicing during the bye week is in or out?
This is out of bounds for me, BT. Because you think about some of the young players on any team, whether it's, you know, you're not the, you know, the Joe Flaccos of their team, but Orlando Brown, their right tackle, he's a rookie, or their other, their guard is a rookie as well offensively. It's always beneficial, even just to be on the field, no pads, going through the mechanics, working on some things that you need, whether it's, you know, situational football or special plays, Lamar Jackson packages, whatever. It just, I don't love this for this team specifically, especially because of how they played the last 4 weeks.
I'm going to disagree with you on this one here. I'm going to say inbounds, and I'm going to give a nod to a hell of a coach who knows his team, and I'm going to trust his instincts on this. The way I look at the Ravens, right, and trust me, I understand that there's value in terms of, you know, remaining regimented. I get that, man. Mm-hmm. I know where you're coming from. But at least, you know, what the Ravens are going to have to do to turn this thing around to get back in the playoff race, they're currently ninth in the AFC, right? So for them to become a fixture in the wild card and, you know, make a run at the North here, they're going to have to be really fresh and really sharp and really in sync. And it's been there a long time. He's got a Super Bowl. Harbaugh's a smart dude. If he thinks this is good, I got no problem taking my foot off the gas. Now, if it doesn't work and they come out and there's 12 penalties the next game and there's three turnovers, yeah, you're open to criticism. Yeah. I like it right now. I like it.
It's interesting because they play the Bengals, who is a division rival, yep, right out of the bye week. It's at home for them, so that's it's a little added benefit. Then they got the Raiders, the Falcons, the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Chargers, and end with the Browns. So it's not an easy finish for them by any stretch of the imagination. So they better be energized by this. Otherwise, that writing that we're talking about might become permanent ink.
Definitely not easy, although without A.J. Green, okay, and you would imagine the Ravens, remember they got throttled that week two Thursday night game in Cincy. I wouldn't be surprised if the Ravens win that game. Then you mentioned you got the Raiders at home, so can you win two straight, get back to over 500? Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. I've lost my enthusiasm for the Ravens, but they're not buried yet, I guess. This is a last-ditch effort.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, TK, how about this? Let's go to the Broncos now, 3-6, just 17-24 since they won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Super Bowl 50, of course, back in 2016. Now, John Elway's under fire for some bad personnel decisions and failed draft picks, with just four of his last 12 first and second rounders starting on the current roster. That's a lot of whiffs.
That's bad.
That's worse than Jerry Reese almost, and that's almost impossible to do. Now recently traded wideout Demaryius Thomas lashed out recently. They said he said they lied to him about the trade and questioned their culture and the coaching staff on 760 KOA in Denver.
If you want to be better, you got to listen to your players. They've been playing this game for a long time. Yes. And when you don't change stuff up on the field, it was games where I want to change stuff on the field because I saw it and I knew it would help us. I used to do it with Peyton. It helped us as an offense. I just try to make us better. But when you can't, you don't want to listen to players, that's what's going to happen. It's the truth, though. On the sheet of paper, that team right there, they got a special squad. And ain't no way they should be losing that many games.
All right, so interesting take. Couple of shots fired as he bounces. Elway has supported head coach Vance Joseph, although not everybody believes it, including me. In or out, Elway is more to blame for the Broncos' issues than the head coach.
This is out of bounds, BT. Elway certainly does have some blame because you put product or put players or personnel on the field that just aren't capable at times, especially maybe even missing with his quarterback, with Case. But I know exactly what Demaryius Thomas is talking about. We had a situation like this with the Giants, with John Huffnagel, offensive coordinator, wouldn't listen on in game day just for in what was happening and how we were adjusting what we were seeing. And as a result, Coach Coughlin ended up having to fire him, reassigned him. Ultimately, he left and went to the Canadian Football League. We actually did really well as an assistant. I think won a couple Grey Cups up there. But it was the best thing that happened for our team. And so when you look at the staff in Denver, it's Bill Musgrave, who's old school. He's probably...
He's with the Raiders for a while, right?
Locked into his mentality about what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
This is on the coaching staff. Yeah, it's on Elway for not getting the right guys, but this is also on the staff for not paying attention to what veterans like a Demaryius Thomas are telling you they're seeing.
All right, the right answer is both. I mean, it's when you whiff on that many draft picks, I hear you. We got to pick one. I'm going to actually go the other way here. I know it's easy to just dump this on Joseph's doorstep. I don't think he's a good coach at all. And that's not just lazy analysis, kind of, you know, like jumping on what everybody says. You watch the Broncos play. And there's some maddening decisions, some really questionable basic things that he just does not have down. That's Joseph.
He's learning still, but it's only his second year.
Right.
He's an odd coach, though, because he's not a specialist in anything. Played quarterback and running back when he was in college, but he's a DB coach and then a defensive coordinator his entire professional career. So it's just
he's decent at everything. He's an expert at nothing.
Yeah.
All right. I'll certainly buy that. I just think I can't let John Elway get a hall pass here. That's why I'm going to say it's in bounds. I think Elway is more to blame. They've really picked. I mean, think about the quarterbacks. I mean, John Elway, can you find a quarterback there?
I easily could have.
You're one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Find the quarterback.
I easily could have went the other way on this one.
I mean, Paxton Lynch?
Yeah.
Paxton Lynch.
I know.
He drafted him.
I know.
I'm going to say inbounds.
He's out of the league.
I know.
Are you in or are you out?
LeBron. LeBron, not your average NBA star. The Kings moved to L.A., obviously, a lot about some other stuff as well. Not just the basketball, but a chance to do some other things away from the court. Now, after Saturday's loss to the Raptors, LeBron rolled up and went to P. Diddy's 49th birthday party. This was in Hollywood. And a lot of people on Twitter weren't thrilled with the Lakers star, saying things such as, quote, he's turned into J.R. Smith, which is completely ridiculous. Mm. Quote, the thought of Kobe, MJ, Magic, or Bird partying after getting their ass kicked is laughable. That might actually be accurate.
I don't think so.
Hashtag not my goat.
I don't think so.
In or out.
I guarantee you, Magic.
I'll tell you, Bird wouldn't. That's for and neither would Magic. And neither would Kobe. Shaq might. MJ might go to the strip joint to play some craps.
Magic definitely was. I promise
you. No, he wasn't. No, I don't think he'd be so public about it, Teak. It was different.
Larry Bird's never gone to a party.
Well, he would just sit in his basement and drink a case of Budweiser.
MJ was, it was his own party every night. And Kobe, Kobe laid low after,
after Denver.
Yeah.
In or out, LeBron going to a celebrity party after an embarrassing loss is inbounds or out of
bounds? It's inbounds, man. It's a birthday party for a friend of his, Diddy. Of course he's going to go.
They're boys now?
They're boys. He's with everybody.
Sure.
I mean, if you have any association with anything that he's ever touched, which is everything.
Yeah. You like him because he made you money.
Then he's your boy.
Well, boys, you made me money.
Exactly.
My boy, hey. So, my boy's here. Come on in, LeBron. I got you.
I mean, it's not like he was tossing down and sitting up.
But even if he was, big deal. He was supposed to sit there like a monk and not say a word and drink.
Exactly. Go have a beverage.
I'm with you on this. While I disagree about some of the stars from back in the day, they would go and drown their sorrows differently. It's a different era. It's all good. But LeBron, listen, he's a human being. He's not going to go and sit in some chamber and stare at the wall and lament that a failed play out of the timeout in the second quarter that didn't quite work on a backdoor run to the rim. Give me a break. He's a human being.
Yeah,
he's not doing drugs. He's not drinking driving. He's not out there with somebody other than his wife. This is so unfair to LeBron James.
Agreed.
But this is one of the downsides
of LA.
Of being LeBron James.
And in being in LA.
True. But being him. Listen, there's a lot that we would all... I'm not a jealous person. There's obviously things that LeBron has that I would love to have. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that he's got to deal with that I don't have to deal with, man.
This is not one.
He can't hide.
No.
He can't have a drink.
Are you in or are you out?
We're on the same page with that, though. Get off him. Now, you might want to get on him because he's not winning or he's getting a little bit old, whatever. All right, I love this. Baseball Hall of Fame released their names on the 10 candidates for the 2019 Today's Game Era ballot. So on the list, Albert Bell, steroids... Joe Carter, Earl Hershiser, Lee Smith, Sweet Lou Piniella, George Steinbrenner, the great George Steinbrenner. Put my Yankee hat as I do this. Georgie, amongst a few others here, Teak. A candidate must receive at least 75% of the vote, meaning that 12 of the 16 committee members have to say yes. So this year, two players went in, Jack Morris and Alan Trammell, both of the Tigers, although Jack played elsewhere as well, Toronto, Minnesota. They're elected to the modern baseball era ballot. In or out, at least two names will be voted into the Hall of Fame from this list.
This is inbounds.
Need at least two.
Inbounds. I think George will. He created the greatest franchise in baseball.
Keep that list up there, TV, please.
I'm going to say Lee Smith.
Ooh.
Lee Smith.
Smith was bad.
Yeah, he was.
He was bad.
Retired as the all-time save leader. Mm-hmm. Saves were different, too, back then.
Oh, yeah. You had to earn him a little
more. Wasn't like coming in the ninth inning with two outs.
Uh-huh.
All right, Lee, you're going to go in the sixth inning, and you got to finish this thing.
Yep.
Go do it.
So you got at least two.
I got at least two.
I'm going to say
he's third all-time, by the way, now, Lee Smith.
Lee Smith.
And
behind,
the two above him.
Mariano and Trevor Hoffman.
And those two are both in the Hall of Fame.
Gotcha. I'm going to say absolutely. All the respect, Harold Baines is not a Hall of Famer. I believe he cheated. He's not. I would have no problem Joe Carter getting in. Joe Carter, October heroics, the home run.
I told you
the
my story off. When I met him.
You did.
Because he broke his wrist and he was at UVA.
This guy was great. Great two-way player. He should be in. He was an October hero. He should be in. I believe he's done enough. He had 40-something home runs for the Orioles back
that's
in the
Davey,
day, too. And he won championships.
Davey Johnson.
Davey Johnson, great. Charlie Manuel, maybe not. Lou Piniella, yes. Lee Smith,
Sweet
yes.
Lou.
George Steinbrenner, yes. Probably 7 of those 10 would get in for me. And I'm not too liberal with that. So you know that I'm pretty protective of the Hall of Fame. Those are some great names right there.
All right.
Do they have a limit?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Do they have a limit? I don't know. We'll check that out during the break. We'll get it to you. We got something on the Bull family next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.